And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
Hello, everyone out there in Tampa Bay and beyond. This is James Knowles coming at you for the RBLR Sports Podcast. I am here tonight to cover the Rowdies, even though we did not have a game this past weekend. Or we did have a game this past weekend. Sorry, we did not previously. So we are trying to make up for some lost time because RBLR Sports was not here at all last week. We were missing power and collectively all lost out on that. I am here tonight with two guests, my usual co-host Carlos and unused substitute Ben Wilcox. How are you doing, Carlos? And then Ben, and then me, and then we'll get into it.
No. Ben, lead us off. How are you? Special guest. How's it going?
First off, thanks for having me, guys. Doing well, recovering from all the fun that we've been going through. But, you know, happy to be here. Happy to talk a little Rowdies. And, hey, man, just it's another fun day, man. We just keep at it.
Yep. James, I don't even know what day it is. I didn't know it was Wednesday. I'm so confused, honestly. I moved. I'm currently in D.C. Got my new Washington Spirit hat to rep the district a little bit. They got a playoff game coming up. They're looking pretty good, by the way. They had a great last game against – I forgot who they played, but I know they won.
It wasn't Boss Nation. We know that.
Wasn't
– Right.
It was not Boss Nation. thank God for that. It's a strange time, as Ben said. Well, we could say it's a fun time. Sorry for the strange audio. It might be a little echoey, given my new state of affairs. I'm not even in my apartment. It's too sad to be in because it's just an air mattress and a broken TV right now. So we're making our way back into normalcy here. I'm in a little like working booth, this apartment. Very flowery, very whatever, very fun. And I've been trying to get this lamp to turn on for like 20 minutes. I don't know what's going on, James and Ben here. I'm tired. I think we're all a little tired. The Rowdies certainly look a bit tired, I'll tell you what. And can we even blame them? I'm not sure. James, before we get into any Rowdy stuff, how did you do during these hurricanes, man? This is another one. What the hell?
Yeah. So obviously, like I said, we did not record last week because I was without power. I think, Carlos, you were out of town. Ben, I think you said you were also out of town. I was in town, but I was in a different house. Both the house that I live in, which is the one I'm at now, and the other house were without power. So there was no chance to record anything. We apologize for that, but I also don't know what to tell you. There was no way to get around it. We could also not get out a preview article. So I will try to make sure that that is done, obviously, for this upcoming game this weekend. But I guess in the meantime, that means that we have to do a quick review of both the game against Louisville City and the game that came before it. So prepare for two losses, but we will probably be doing a larger episode than just the individual games. I think, Carlos, Ben, we had talked previously about all the other topics that are going on with the Rowdies that we want to cover. They are partially hurricane related. They are partially form related, and getting into the nitty gritty of the Rhode Island and Louisville City games maybe isn't the biggest priority tonight. So we will do all of that, but either way, we will also preview the North Carolina game that's coming up this weekend, not at home. We'll get to that in a little bit. Good we had Lord. No predictions, obviously, for the Louisville City game, so no changes in our own standings, but we will get another chance when we do that preview. Pay attention and stay tuned for that. Like and subscribe to us on YouTube as well as Unused Substitutes. Obviously, we like Unused Substitutes as well, and I first started listening to them before I joined RBLR Sports anyway, so going to give them a shout out here. Sure. And please follow all of us on Twitter, whatever social media you use, Instagram, Facebook, Blue Sky, whatever. We are at RBLR Sports. Ben, where are you guys?
We are at Unused Subs Pod for all social medias.
Perfect. All right. Well, that makes it pretty easy too. Carlos, if you want to get us started with the quick recap for the Rhode Island game, I'll do the one versus Louisville City. And then after the standings, we're just going to have an open session.
James, I fully, like, if I wasn't prepping for this podcast, I didn't even know the score of the Rhode Island game yesterday. Like, it has been such a chaotic couple of weeks, but
yeah.
particularly chaotic last week. In the midst of all of that, I guess before it actually hit, the Rowdies did actually play against Rhode Island FC, came out with a 3-1 loss, unfortunately. Yeah, it was just a pretty boring one. It didn't go well by any means. The starting lineup was nothing crazy. Jordan Farr was in goal. Jordan Doherty, Kleeman, and Guillen made up that back line with Pacific Yangabir at that right wing back spot, Bodley at that left wing back spot, Hilton and Bender getting another start here, who seem to be kind of getting much more into the regular starting lineup now as we kind of wrap up the year. And up top, Leo Fernandez did get the start, maybe a little surprising, with Manu Arteaga, Josh Perez as well. Cal Jennings off of the bench, maybe somewhat noteworthy. But yeah, Rodon got the lead very early on. Jordan Farr had a pretty silly mistake. They were up 2-0 before we really even had a chance, I think. And frankly, they deserved it. Yeah, they played better. They were comfortable at home. They were up 2-0 very, very comfortably. James, it didn't go well by any means. By the end of the game, it was 3-1. Honestly, if I try to give you details about this game right now, I couldn't tell you what happened. It feels like an eternity ago. It was Arteaga that got the goal for us in the 71st minute, and former Rowdy JJ Williams, who put the game away.
Yes.
Rhode Island in the 85th minute. Interestingly enough, Fuson was, oh my goodness, what's his first name, James? I knew this.
Noah,
that's right. Noah Fuson was a player that we thought would actually be suspended this game. And the other goal scorer for Rhode Island was another former Rowdy, Zach Arago. So the three goal scorers for Rhode Island FC were two former Rowdies and one player that we thought would be suspended. So
we're betting 1,000 on that.
Yeah, I don't know what to say about that other than, okay, like we can move on, honestly. Truly, I don't know what to make of this game. I have some thoughts on the Louisville City game that I think are rather promising, but I'll save that for in a little bit. This game was not anything special. It wasn't really anything good. That's kind of been characterizing the last part of the year, unfortunately. Yeah. Again, we can talk about the hurricane, all the external factors here in a minute, but this game in a bubble, in a vacuum, was something. Yeah. Yeah. There's been a few of those something games here in the last couple months, unfortunately. That's where we are. Playoffs coming up soon. But James, before that happened, we had a Louisville City game.
Yes, and I'll go through this one really quickly. 2, Phil Breno actually started in net over Jordan Farr, so that was a little interesting. The back line was Jordan Doherty, Freddie Kleeman, and Aaron Guillen. No surprises there. Across the midfield was Pacific Nyangabiri, Lewis Hilton, Ben Bender, and Blake Bodley. The only difference, Ben Bender has been more in the starting lineup recently, so that's not too big of a difference. And up top was Cal Jennings, Manuel Arteaga, and Josh Perez. We took the lead before Louisville City came back and won with the help of a controversial penalty. I'm sure that we'll probably get into that a little bit, but probably not too much, because ultimately I think that as much as this was probably one of our better, maybe one of our better performances recently, the problem, of course, is that we haven't had a lot of good performances recently anyway, so it really doesn't mean that we have hit any high bars with that either. So, yeah, it did not go our way. Robbie Nielsen was actually sent off versus Louisville City, so that was a little interesting. But you know what? Fair enough, right?
Yeah,
good for him. Yeah, so we'll do a quick standings update as well. Memphis and Detroit City have now clinched playoff berths while we continue to drop. Sadly, Louisville City stays top with 72 points from 32 games played, 12 points ahead of Charleston, who are also on 32 games. Detroit City have 50 from their 32 games, followed by Indy on 48, Rhode Island FC on 47, and us from 46 points from 31 games. So, like I said, we are dropping, and that is something that we're going to get to in a bit as well. In the West, New Mexico still lead with 58 points from their 32 games. Las Vegas have stunned everyone, 50 points from their 32 games. Congratulations to them. Genuinely, congratulations. Sacramento have 49 points. Goodness. Colorado Springs have 46. And Memphis, who, like I said, clinched, have 45 points. All of those have played 32 games. Now, let's get into the two games as much as we want, and then it'll probably just turn into a larger session, like I said, that is about how the season is going. Ben, I will turn it over to you first. Do you have any thoughts on these two games together? They were both losses. One was a bit closer than the other. One of them was absolutely dreadful, in my opinion. But I'll let you give us your thoughts.
Yeah, I think when I look at Rhode Island, I mean, you just look at that first goal, and it's just a complete blunder by the goalkeeper. I mean, Farr, who I'm a big fan of, I think he's a tremendous goalkeeper, has not looked great.
No.
Has been making blunders in games. He's just gotten lucky, I think, to have not conceded more and finally paid for one. And, you know, good on Zach Herivo for, you know, challenging the play and not giving up and getting essentially the easy one, right? It's like, I don't know that we're doing anything different, but we just look tired and uninspired. And this game very much felt that. Like, I just didn't see the fight in the team. And typically when we see a performance like this from the Rowdies, the follow-up game to that is there is an aggressiveness, there's a fire in them that I felt like we saw against Louisville. I mean, you talked about it a little bit. I mean, this is one of our better performances recently that we've seen. Louisville, I think we always show up for that game. I think it's hard not to, right?
Yeah.
They've got a great facility. I don't know if it was a sold-out game or not, but even two-thirds capacity, if you've had a chance to go up there, it's a fantastic stadium. It's loud. It's raucous. I mean, it's a fun place to play, and I think as a player, you get up for games like that, and I really feel like we showed up. Yeah, the PK was, I don't know. I think half would say it was the right call, half would say it's not. I think it was a terrible call. I'm with Robbie. I would have probably been thrown out as well. But again, I mean, look, those are the breaks, right? You still got, 40 minutes to go at that point to try and win a game? Or, sorry, 30 minutes to go to win a game at that point. And while I feel like we kept up the pressure, I mean, you saw as Louisville pressed more, we started getting our forwards open more. You saw Arteaga and these guys starting to open up channels deeper inside or deeper on the wider areas. But, I mean, you got to finish games. I don't know how to explain it. To lose it that way was so heartbreaking because, I mean, did Louisville deserve to win it? Yeah. I mean, look, they were putting all the pressure on. I mean, but I just something's not clicking with this team right now, and I can't put my finger on it. I'm completely baffled because everything is there. The starting lineup looked great. I like who we had on the field. I think the way we played was well. I think we responded well to the press when Louisville would change their shape a little bit. I just don't know. I mean, what are you guys seeing?
Yeah,
this will. Carlos, I'll do mine real quick, and then I'll turn it over to you because I totally agree with what Ben is saying. This is something that a lot of people have pointed out in many different places across the internet. At least the Rowdies are leading in all of these attacking metrics, like how many chances we've created, but we're also leading in obviously the big chances missed category. So that's fun. It seems like we are doing all of the right stuff and then getting to the final point of execution, and frequently that fails. And before the season started, I had this idea that I wanted to come up with some moniker for the team over the course of the season, some label that would stand out that we could, I don't know, if it worked out in the end, at the end of 2024, we could put it on a t-shirt or something. And I was like, okay, I'm trying to think of this all along the course of the season. And it's very funny because mentality monsters usually stands out for teams that have the mentality that they are never beaten. They never know when to stop. They never know when they are down and when to quit. The Rowdies seem to me, on the other hand, to have a mentality monster where they are ready to quit. They are ready to know when they're defeated at all times. At least that's the way that it's been since summer ended, as far as I can tell. So it's all well and good up until you get to that final point, and then it blows up in our faces, and then we just kind of, well, we've been here before. So Carlos, with that, I'll turn it over to your opinions as well.
No, yeah. You mentioned the summer. The last time I remember, feels like years ago, James, at this point, a fiery game from the Rowdies was that Charleston home game.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, just attitude on the pitch, you know? It's what I want more of, more than anything. At this point, with all the external factors, the Hurricanes and the not knowing if we're going to play at Lang again this year, and the you know, throwing this home game upcoming against North Carolina FC to carry North Carolina. I mean, they have all the excuses to kind of throw away the season at the end of the year now. which is honestly maybe understandable, just incredible circumstances, obviously. But if we're going to go down, just a little attitude on the field at this point is kind of all I'm looking for. Because it's just that Louisville game, right? I mean, we'll talk about that Louisville game because I don't want to talk about the Rhode Island game. It was just another game of that's kind of characterized what the last few months have been.
Right.
That Louisville game was not particularly like inspiring or anything, but they looked a bit more confident in themselves, a bit more staunch defensively. I think that penalty was BS. What can you do about such an like a last second goal, other than just keep the mentality the full game? I don't know. They looked better. They looked like they could compete against anybody in the league, which is really what they should be doing with such a great roster, such a tactical mastermind, Robbie Nielsen. That should be kind of the standard, is competing against Louisville, competing against, I guess Las Vegas away now too. These like really good teams in the league. So not necessarily inspiring in terms of our offensive like showing against Louisville, but we just looked more staunch, a bit more confident in ourselves, which maybe not the attitude was there, but I don't know. Maybe that little change in goalie gave him a bit of a jolt too, if nothing else. Truly, I don't know what was much different about the Louisville game. I mean, the lineup was nothing particularly different other than Leo Fernandez coming off the bench. I don't know. I mean, I was pretty happy with it despite the penalty up until that last second goal. But I truly don't even know what you can do at that point. Like, I think mentality, like you said, James, has kind of been thrown away at this point. Like, it looks pretty unenergetic, sadly. And I don't know. I really don't know what you do going ahead into these last few games with all the external factors, like I said. What's the attitude? What's the kind of response we get from this team now with everything that's happened in this last few games? Are we going to see a good run? Like, it's possible. It truly is possible. Like, I could see this team being like, we just went through a hurricane. We're playing on the road every game, potentially. Like, I don't know. You could see a fire kind of lit under their boots right now. It's possible. But, yeah. Like, again, the Louisville game was better. Not particularly inspiring. Very characteristic, by the way, of a Rowdy's Louisville game, though, by the way. Yes. Pretty tight. Not necessarily like a ton of offensive production by either side either. A one-goal game. I don't know if you picked up that stat that the commentator shared in that one. And I went back and saw that of the 16 times Rowdies and Louisville have played, 15 of those games were decided by one goal or a tie. Yeah. The only game that was decided by more than one goal was a Rowdies 2-0 win against Louisville back in 2017 or 2018. So just a tidbit to throw in here about this being kind of typical of what this matchup is. Maybe helpful going into next season when we play Louisville, James, and we got our predictions coming up. So take that with a grain of salt. I hate to say like I've given up on the year because it's not necessarily the case, but with everything that's happened, right, the literal hurricane tearing up the stadium in the middle of a bad run of form, I can't really think of a much worse combo of like factors, right? So I guess to not be the always optimistic guy I am, I guess I wouldn't be surprised if, we get 6th, 7th place in the Eastern Conference by the end of the year and get knocked out in the first round. But I also wouldn't be surprised if there's a fire lit under this team's boots right now. Everything that's going on, we saw the Bucks go to the New Orleans Saints and play the game of their lives right after the hurricane. Maybe we have a similar situation with the Rowdies. It's possible. It's certainly possible. I mean, they have the roster to do it. That's kind of what I've said all year. After all these games, they have the roster to have that really impressive, incredible run to end the year. So it's certainly not out of the question for me. But it's also not out of the question that we get knocked out round one. And honestly, I wouldn't even blame them. Like with how everything's gone, I couldn't be too upset. Yeah, I just form. I don't see it happening.
Yeah. I mean, I'm with you, man. Like, I don't want to give him the excuse either, because I'm an optimist as well, right? Like, I'm with you. I'm always going to be Team Rowdies. I mean, I grew up with this team in the 80s and 90s. I worked for the team. I mean, that's how much I love the club, right? Like, I mean, I love this team. And I think for me, like, this is a big reality check for everybody in that locker room. Like, I'm with you. We have a great locker room. This is one of the most talented teams I think we have ever had across the board. This is Robbie Nielsen's first time here in this league. This is a chance for him and those players to show, you know, what we're made of. I mean, they could tuck their tail and they could just say, yep, we've had all these terrible things happen in a row and just call it a day. But a part of me feels like that's not the DNA of this team. I don't feel like it's the DNA left over by Neil. And I don't feel like it's the DNA that Robbie has instituted into this team either. So I do believe that some good is going to come of this Louisville loss. I just wish it hadn't happened after three really rough losses and two really crappy natural disasters, all thrown in together. Like, you're right, it was kind of a perfect storm. I know, insert joke, but it's kind of the perfect storm of all these bad things kind of coming together. But I mean, I do believe that this team can kind of traditionally up into summer, James, like you talked about, this team responds really well to a loss or a difficult game, right? They typically did. So we know it's in there to do it. The question is, who's going to show up? And I know that potentially if we play away the rest of the way, or if we end up playing home somehow, some way, I don't know. None of us know. But whatever it is, I still feel like this team has it within them to step up and get angry, get mad, and go out and prove that they deserve to be, they've earned, you know, the name on the front of their jerseys, and that they have every reason to prove that they belong, you know, in the playoffs. I mean, could we go out early? Yeah. But I mean, we've seen good teams go out early in the playoffs. I mean, that's just the joy of playoffs. But if we come out the way we did against Louisville, even if it wasn't necessarily the prettiest of games, that attitude, I think, will win you more games than lose. And I just have that attitude and lose, I hope this team responds with even more, wanting to do even more. But yeah. I mean, who knows, right? I mean, it's just you're right. Maybe it could go the direction, but I see this team getting angry. I mean, like, look, hats off to Phil Breno for having some huge clutch saves in that game. I mean, there was a very early chance where I don't know how he brought his hand up the way that he did and stops what should have been a go-ahead goal with the fifth minute. Like, I think everything's there. I don't know. I think the team can respond. I think they can make it happen. Yeah. I still believe this team.
I believe it. Don't get me wrong. Like, I know I sounded pessimistic. I do believe it, certainly. But, man, like, I think to your point, it certainly helps to have guys like Lewis Hilton still on this roster, right? A Leo Fernandez is a leader, but like a Lewis Hilton is like a bulldog, you know? Yes. This is a guy you want getting angry on your team because it's going to piss off the rest of the team, right? I think he's beyond just being like a solid central midfielder with like solid performances every game. This is a guy that I would hope shows up pretty strongly in the locker room, on the field, the next time they hit the pitch against North Carolina, right? This is going to be a big one, obviously, in terms of points, but beyond the points, I think just in terms of confidence and just like general form going into the playoffs, assuming we make it to the playoffs, which maybe isn't assumed anymore, right?
Right.
So I think guys like Lewis Hilton are going to be key. Your leaders are going to be key on this team. But I think he's going to be the guy that I'm going to look towards in particular to kind of spark that fire under the boots, like I've been saying earlier. There's talent on the team. Leaders like Lewis Hilton, I think, are going to be the ones to help, you know, bring them into fruition in these last few games.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would I just want to quickly highlight, based off of what you both are saying, this idea. Someone I know mentioned to me the idea of a grieve factor, where something bad happens in somebody's life or just around their life, and then if they're a professional athlete, they go and they turn in the game of their lives. You mentioned the Tampa Bay Bucks had done that. Unfortunately, the Rowdies did not quite emulate the same thing, but maybe this is a situation where it could do that. And this is something where all the hardship that they've been through since the month of August, which literally includes actual hardship, not just on the field sports hardship that isn't real hardship, but the whole community has been affected by something that's actually truly negative and has kept us out with, it kept us without power for a couple of days at the best. That was the best situation. There were a lot of people who were in much worse situations, obviously. So I don't know, maybe that's something that could lead to a positive on the field. That would be the weirdest way to take it. But I mean, from our perspective, not the players, but yeah, I would hope that there is some type of catalyst going on somewhere. Maybe it's Lewis Hilton. Maybe it's a captain's speech. Maybe it's something like that. Robbie Nielsen is a good manager. He has achieved promotion from the Scottish second division to the Scottish third division, I think, three different times. So he's got something there. He can motivate players. We need to see that here too. I'll ask you guys real quickly, based off of everything else, are there any other bigger questions that you think that we should be asking? And I guess that I'm hinting at one in particular that I'm sure everybody can figure out, but are there any other bigger questions that you feel we should be asking as we hit this part of the season and as we hit this form of the season?
I think the one that still lingers for me that hasn't really been figured out is the lack of offensive production, right? And we've seen that in the last few games. Unfortunately, it's still kind of continued. We've knocked in a couple of goals. We haven't really been shut out necessarily since that Birmingham game. But it still hasn't really been there. It hasn't been particularly inspiring. There hasn't been a game that I can point to that's really been a turning point for us, right? I thought that game against Charleston, going back to that, would be that turning point for us and for our attack, for like the grit, for the attitude of this team. They put away four goals in one game, right? Back against Tulsa, way back when, in that famous summer of 24, they won 5-0. Six goals against Birmingham in that crazy Open Cup game, right? Like, we can point to games earlier on in the year where they did it. So the capacity for it is there. And I think that's the most frustrating part for me, is that we know that the roster is there for a six-goal game even, right? We've had great defensive performances. So I think, to go back to Ben's point, like, it's, we can turn it on, right? We can turn it on. But the question is, can we do that? Can we turn it around with three regular season games to go and hopefully four playoff games, right? It's a tight, tight window to turn it on, and we're really running out of time. We don't know where we're going to play, so we don't know where we're going to turn it on, but they have a tight window to turn it on. And my question is, can we do it? And for anybody listening live, if you're listening on X.com, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, feel free to shoot us a reply in the comments, in the live stream, in the Twitter replies. Let us know your thoughts, because I don't know. I don't know if we can. The roster is there for it, but they haven't given me much indication that it's going to happen in the next few weeks. It can happen. I know they can do it. I just don't know if it will happen.
Yeah, I'm kind of in line with you a lot, Carlos, in the sense that for me, it's just about attitude, having that killer instinct. Even when we were winning games earlier in the season, I still feel like we didn't have that killer instinct to just putting the boot down and just really running a team to the ground. And I feel like some of that's starting to really show now, because when we get up against a team and then we let it go back in, it's like, you feel this shift. Maybe there isn't one. Maybe it's just because it's how I think, it's an issue that I've created that I'm seeing. But to me, it feels like that attitude, that killer instinct, has not come through, that we know exist because we've seen it in moments, but we've never seen it consistently. And like you said, we have three games left with a lot of question marks, not just about the opponent, but where we're playing, who's going to be playing, who will be. I mean, for the most part, we know the lineup, but there's now a couple question marks about who's going to be starting. I mean, you know, these guys have to respond. I mean, like, I get it. We've been through some tough times here recently, but you've got 3 weeks. And if you want to get anywhere in the playoffs, you've got to have that attitude. I mean, we've seen teams in the past just, with the last three, four games of the season, get hot, get angry, and just come in like a flaming ball of fire and just tear through the playoffs. There's no reason this team can't do that. And for me, it really comes down to attitude. And that's really what I want to see from this team. Is I want to see attitude. If we're going to go out, I want to go out swinging. And that's
absolutely.
Just
absolutely. By the way, special shout out to Louisville. I forgot to mention this, for helping jump that relief for rowdies. Fun that they got going on. Yeah, I mean, that was really, I think, very topical, if nothing else, right? Kind of helped the league to rally around that. I was looking back at the highlights just to kind of check back for anything I might have missed. And I just saw a Florida flag in the Louisville end. Super fun. Shout out to them. Yeah, and Patrick Blanton in the comments, by the way. I know he's a Louisville fan. He saw the 10K goal was met. Louisville matched it, so over 20K to that rowdy is really fun. Great stuff from them. Yeah, I agree. Hopefully we can turn it around and make a real playoff push. Maybe we'll run into Louisville again. It seems to kind of be a theme in the USL playoffs at this point.
Yeah, I love Louisville. I mean, like, I don't like them, but for all the right reasons, right? Because they are a great club. They are run well. The team always shows up, and they are a fun rivalry. Their fans are great. It's always like I expect the best when I see them, and I love that. I love the consistency of what this rivalry has become. It's one of my favorite in the league.
Yeah, and I love that stat, by the way. Like, you can tell it's going to be a good matchup when 15 of the last 16 matches have been either a one-goal game or a tie. Game has been decided by more than one goal since 2017 when the Rowdies won by two.
That is wild.
It's fascinating. Like, truly a level of consistency I really haven't, I mean, not that I can think of in any other matchup. So I mean, like you said, great club, well run. I went for the conference final back in 2020, that infamous one right before the USL final was canceled against Phoenix. First, I think that was their first season with the new stadium. It was lovely. Yes. They broke it in really well. the people are lovely over there too. So it's a great place. So shout out to Pat and all the folks over in Louisville. And then again, a shout out to Louisville City for kickstarting that rowdy is really fun. That's pretty great stuff. But again, I think just to kind of wrap up my thoughts on this game, I'm not really seeing, again, I blank on things a lot when we're talking about games, especially in the time like this. I think Lewis Hilton deserves a shout out for that incredible finish. It was actually a really well worked play. Bender was getting some good movement. Hilton kind of found just a little bit of space to kind of rip that shot. It was lovely, lovely stuff because he doesn't really get involved in the attack like that too often in terms of actually ripping a shot. I want to see more of that from him. I think that adds a totally new dynamic, a new element to the attack. If we have a midfielder who's willing to rip a shot from outside the box, we haven't really had that maybe in the last like seven years. Genuinely, the last like midfielder that was consistently ripping shots like that would have been like potentially NASL days. I can't think of like a central midfielder that's just constantly ripping shots from outside the box. If Lewis Hilton can add that element to his game, I think you might have a new face to this Rowdies attack that's not just whipping in crosses consistently from the wing over and over until it works. So again, a special shout out to him because he had a great game. I think that penalty, I'm going to reiterate it, was BS. Robbie Nielsen. Okay, going back to the attitude thing, Ben, right?
Yep.
This is why I'm saying, like, I'm kind of joking when I say good for him, right? When he gets sent off. But, like, genuinely, good for him. Like give me some attitude. Give me some fire. Show me that you care, that you're going to, like, you know, lay it all out for these players. I know it's a red card. Like, whatever, you can say maybe you should have been more cool in the situation. But I think seeing a coach get fired up like that gets you fired up as a player. I think.
I agree.
Yeah. Anecdotal. Yeah. There's no stats to prove this. I can't, like, you know, survey all the players right now. But genuinely, I'm okay with this red card, truly, if not even happy with it. Good for him. Good for this team. And genuinely, the rest of the game, pretty bland. Again, I'm going to say I think we had a decent game. We lost our focus a little bit at the end. Whatever, honestly. At this point, I don't even think we're really focusing on climbing up the table too much, as much as we are just trying to find our rhythm and our form going into the playoffs. So, at this point, let's get again, back to Ben's point, show us some attitude, show us some fire going into these last few games, and I'll be more than happy. Because at this point, we don't even know if we'll have a home to play a playoff game in the playoffs. Yep. So let's do what we can, going with some fire, and see what we can do.
All right. Well, I think that was a good little session for us to just vent a little bit. But Carlos, let's end this one real quickly with doing our man of the matches, because we didn't get to it last week, and then we'll go into our preview.
Yeah, I kind of spoiled mine by talking about my Lewis Hilton bit here. He's my man of the match for both of these games, and just because he was solid in that Rhode Island game, as he usually is. He didn't make any mistakes. He was a presence in the midfield, which is more than I could say about a lot of the team in this one. So it's more out of a default thing for him being the Rhode Island man of the match. Louisville man of the match just because he had a beautiful shot. Again, I want to see more of that from him. Ripped one into the top right corner, left corner. Yeah, it was a beautiful goal. If we get more of that from him going to the playoffs, fantastic. If we get the same Lewis Hilton we've had the rest of the year, still pretty damn good. So I'm asking maybe a little bit too much from him, but if he can add that, man, maybe there's another dynamic to this attack. By the way, I totally forgot Damian Rivera skimmed the crossbar on one of these shots at the end of the game.
Yep. Not long before then.
Yeah, I totally forgot that. I want to make sure we mention that as well, because obviously a goal that late changes the entire dynamic of this one. So whatever. Shout out to Damian Rivera, I guess. Not my man of the match, but a special shout out because he certainly was inches away from maybe giving us all 3 points in this one.
Yeah. Well, I will say a shout out to Damian Rivera because he was my man of the match for the Rhode Island loss. I think that anyone who played the whole match, you cannot get man of the match because we started out so poorly. Damian Rivera is the benefactor of being a substitute and actually coming on and making any sort of a positive difference. Unfortunately, yeah, the bar is that low at times, and actually that's how he's probably gotten man of the match awards multiple games. But this one, he came on and he was a positive impact on a game that we were looking pretty dreadful in. So good for him going back to his home state of Rhode Island, I guess, even though we lost that one. And the second one against Louisville City, I went with Phil Breno because, as Ben mentioned earlier, he came in under tough circumstances and he still performed very, very well. It's unfortunate that we didn't win the game, but it's not because of Phil Breno's actions, in my opinion. I think that he did a very good job under all of the, just coming in the middle of the season and still standing on his head on quite a few moments. So good stuff from Phil Breno. We do not have an ad for our shop this week. Instead, we would just ask that if you have any money that's burning a hole in your pocket for one reason or another, please make a donation to the Red Cross Hurricane Relief Fund. There is a link below. I'm assuming that it will also be in the description, all that kind of stuff. But the point is that right now, there are a lot of people who are doing far worse than Carlos, Ben, or myself. As I said, losing power for a couple of days was the best situation that you could be in after the storm. And there are a lot of people who have lost a lot more than just the food in their fridge. So please help them out a little bit more and give them some money if you have it. If you don't, obviously, we understand. But if you do have some money, please make a donation. If you don't have any money and you still want to make a donation, they can accept time. Your time going out and volunteering, do that too. It is obviously, there are tons of places in which people need help. So just keep that in mind. Carlos, let's do our quick preview and then we will get some thoughts from Ben as well on this upcoming game because the venue has changed.
yeah, it certainly has, James. Oh my God, I said changed. Did you hear that? I said that makes the James and changed. It certainly has changed. James, hasn't it? Yeah, the Rowdies are playing North Carolina FC, not in Tampa Bay, despite the Rowdies being the first team listed in the FOTMOP thing. You know, the left team usually is the home team. But we're playing in Cary, North Carolina, Wakeman Soccer Park. Cool little stadium, by the way, if you've never been. Just nothing really to do around there, but certainly a cool complex out there. Wish it was at Outlaying, but yeah, the Rowdies will be over in Cary for this one in a big game. We gave you the standings update earlier. We are, you know, 1 point behind Rhode Island right now, 2 points behind Indy with a game in hand. We can, best case scenario, get out of there with 3 points and be in fourth place. That would be ideal. But we'll have to see how it all plays out. North Carolina FC are two spots behind us with 42 points from 32 games played. They desperately, desperately need points to stay in the playoff race. So they will be certainly on the hunt for these points. Again, this has been something I've mentioned multiple times going into the next week's game. In the last several weeks, I've talked about how 11th place and now, well, the Rowdies in 6th place are only separated by 6 points, 2 games, 2 wins, right? And Hartford has a game in hand from that game we didn't play against them in. So even 11th place has a really, really good shout at making the playoffs. A fascinating time in the USL Eastern Conference. Certainly keep an eye on all of these games in the conference because there's going to be some good, good movement here. Hopefully positive for the Rowdies. The North Carolina form is mixed recently, but it's certainly better than ours. Kind of a low bar there. They've mostly adopted a 3-4-2-1 with Jake McGuire and then Mark Batista, Bryce Washington, and Paco Craig in front of him in that back line. And they sit behind Ezra Armstrong, Mikey Maldonado, Colin Martin, and Rafa Menzingen. Luis Perez and Rodrigo Da Costa will be right behind Evan Conway, their main attacking threat, who has 11 goals this year, while Alex Anderson has 10 goals. Da Costa has 7. So three different players who have a pretty significant scoring impact on this team. Keep an eye on Conway, Anderson, and Da Costa. But again, Conway, the main attacking threat with 11 goals. The wingbacks, Armstrong and Menzingen, have 6 and 5 assists, respectively. Maldonado also has 5 assists. So this is a team with plenty of attacking threat. Not the best goal-scoring numbers in the league, necessarily. But fun fact, they've scored the same amount. Oh, my goodness, wait. They have the exact same goal differential as the Tampa Bay Rowdies.
Yep.
50 goals for 42 goals against. The exact same goal differential as the Rowdies. Keep that in mind, I guess. It's the same goal scoring production as the Rowdies with one extra game played. So slight caveat. But like the Rowdies, wide spaces are pretty important for them and their wingbacks to play their game effectively. This is now a second away game against North Carolina FC. If you remember way back at the beginning of the year, it was the second game of the year, Saturday, March 23rd, when we tied 1-1 in a game where it seemed like we were certainly just trying to find our identity.
Yeah,
we did not have a great game by any means in that one. I think we were lucky to go up 1-0 on that own goal. They entirely outplayed us. They outshot us 16-3 way back then. I think we're maybe still trying to find our identity, but in a different way this time of year. So
yeah,
second game of the year, we played them, James. Second to last game of the year, we played them, both in Cary, North Carolina. We'll have to see how this goes. Wait, second to last game? No, sorry. Third to last game. We forgot the Hartford game. James, Bill, I'm sorry, Ben, not Bill.
You're getting better with names as the night goes.
No, I'm so tired. You know what I've been seeing recently? This is a random tidbit, but I don't have to throw this in here. if anybody's ever seen Gravity Falls, this was on like Disney way back when. This was like a cartoon. I've been grinding out Gravity Falls recently, and I've had like Bill Cipher quotes and like memes popping up on my timeline recently.
Right. There's
a good chance nobody knows what I'm talking about except maybe Ben. But anyway, if you do know what I'm talking about, he's in my mind and he's controlling what I'm thinking. So I'm thinking of Bill Cipher. Okay. This is the most insane throw in I've ever put in on a podcast. But James, Ben, it is a crazy time. I'm very tired. Tell me what you think about this one coming up very, very soon. Not a home game in North Carolina.
I think you covered it perfectly. I don't really have a lot to add. I mean, other than I would say, just look at the stats. You go down the line, there's really only one stat that stands out. Otherwise, we are dead even with this team. And that is shots on target. Shots on target, we're at 175, they're at 135. We're creating the opportunities. If we can just convert better on average than we normally do, which I get that's goes against the stats, I feel good about this game. I mean, Cary, like you said, there's not a lot there, but it's a great facility. It's a good pitch. It's a good facility to play at. I think there. It's not like the old Louisville Slugger days of playing on god-awful pitches, right? Like, this is a great facility to play at, even as an away game, as your home game. You know, I think if we come up with the right attitude, I think there's anything's possible here. But statistically, we line straight up with this team. So it's got all the intangibles to be a fantastic game, a very even game. I wouldn't be surprised if it's decided by one goal, like so many of these are. So, yeah, I really don't have a lot to add beyond that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, it's just going to – I think that this is going to come down to I went on the Rhode Island podcast ahead of that game, and I said to them that this is going to come down to what kind of how the Rowdies players are feeling as the game goes by. And I think that this is going to be a similar one where it's going to be some type of mentality, and whether that's positive or negative, we're obviously going to see on the field. So that's kind of where I'm leaning. Do we want to jump into predictions? And Ben, I know we didn't necessarily tell you this ahead of time, but you will be our guest prediction tonight. So if you have one, then we'll start with Carlos and let you think that over, though.
Me? Okay. You start, James. I haven't thought about it.
All right. I'll start.
Good Lord.
I'm going to go, and I'm going to be as positive as I can. I'm going to focus on that. I'm going to focus on what we talked about earlier. The Rowdies got kicked in the pants. The Rowdies got the two hurricanes that they're getting over themselves. This is all the fuel for their fire, so to speak. This is going to be a 3-1 win.
Ooh, wow. I like that.
Wow.
That's what I'm going with.
I like it. Well done, sir.
Wow. This is the I don't know if, like, by any chance, if anybody's tuning in here for the first time and might be thinking, wow, James is such an optimistic person. Look at him predicting a 3-1 win for the this might be historic. This is incredible. I mean, even Eureka in the chat here that we have going on the side is going crazy for this one.
Just laced with expletives about how crazy this is. Yeah,
this is incredible. Like I'm going to come back and make sure to clip this part of the podcast just for my own personal records. This is the most optimistic I've ever seen, James. So with that energy, I don't think we can lose. And I'm going to go with a 2-0 win in a similar vein. A 2-goal win, but I think we get the shutout in this one. I feel, for all the reasons James said, honestly, like I wouldn't be surprised if, like I said earlier, if we get blown out or if we win in the most incredible performance ever. Like, it really could go either way. I don't see it being like anything in between. It'll either be like one of the best performances of the year, bouncing back after this incredible, incredible moment of what can we say other than like adversity, right? Adversity on the pitch, off the pitch, like truly. It'll either be a fantastic performance on the field or a blowout in favor of North Carolina FC. But I'm choosing to be the optimist in this one, as always. 2-0 win.
You know, fellas, I'm going to join in. I like this positive attitude. I'm going to lead with my heart like I do like all things in my life. And I'm going 2-1, but not just 2-1. We're going to concede early in this game, and we are going to fight back. Not only tie this game, we are going to win this game on attitude and start the mentality monsters that we know this team is into the postseason. That's exactly what I'm predicting. So we are going to win 2-1. That is my prediction.
I like
All right. And our intrepid producer is the downer in this episode, who has gone with a 1-1 draw. He tells me they still have to show me they're the killers they were earlier. So 1-1. All right. Well, there you go, folks. Eureka is the down note on this prediction part of the podcast. Who That's predicted that? I certainly didn't.
That's a development right there. Yeah, this is overall just a historic moment in the history of RBLR sports. I'm going to come back and make sure to save this one.
I'm glad I could be a part of this. This is amazing.
Yeah, man, I'm glad you've been able to witness this, Ben. Not Bill, by the way, to be absolutely clear.
I respond to a lot of things. It's all right.
This was the cartoony character I was referencing earlier, by the way. If anybody's curious, go back. It's actually one of like my favorite shows of all time. And oh my God, I could talk about that show forever. Okay, Rowdies win because everybody's predicted it, except producer Eureka, but everybody on the screen has predicted it, so I'm going to take that as a guaranteed win. So
let's go. There we go.
We're winning.
All right. Well, we'll do extra time real quick because there is a segment in that I think we're all going to want to talk about. Nate Wirth was called up to the U.S. under-19 national team for an October training camp. I believe that has already come and gone, so congratulations to him on getting that call up and obviously taking part in it. I wish I saw the scores, but I honestly did not, so I don't know how much he played or didn't. Either way, I'm sure it was a good experience. The international window, though, has closed with a U.S. men's national team win and a loss. That one, I wasn't as worried about the loss as I expected to be because we were missing half the team. And Carlos, how did Ecuador do down there?
Ecuador had a 0-0 tie in both games. Yeah. Ecuador drew both games 0-0 against Paraguay at home, which was incredibly disappointing because against our former coach, Gustavo Alfaro, against a very weak Paraguay team who's actually finding their form and crawled up to the table. They out of nowhere tied Ecuador in the standings and are now in sixth place right behind us. And who else did we play? We played Uruguay away, tied nothing.
That's a little bit more impressive, at least.
It is. It is in the grand scheme of things. A tie in Uruguay is impressive because we always struggle to get points over there in Montevideo. When you zoom in a bit more, it seems to be not as incredible a result when you realize Uruguay has now not scored in four straight games, which is kind of insane for a team that's as offensively gifted as they are, with a Darwin Nunez up top, with a Valverde connecting him with the ball. Like, there's so much talent there. I think we outplayed them like in the second half. First half, they had a case for a goal. Second half, I think we had more of a case. But it was a good game. So 0-0 tie both games, uninspiring. Second game, at least we got out of there with a point. So I'm happy.
There you go. All right. And this is our last bit, because I think this, like I said, is going to take us a little while longer. But the Hurricanes obviously impacted not only the Tropicana Field roof, which I'm sure everyone has seen online, but at this point, the rumors are proving to be at least somewhat true. Al Lang Stadium was impacted, I believe, originally by Hurricane Helene. I don't know how much damage it was actually felt because of Milton, but the point is that we are not playing at Al Lang for this upcoming game because of the damage, and we're not sure if we're going to play there again for the rest of this season. With that being said, I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Wilcox here for his speculation on potential potential home game locations, provided we do not do for the rest of our games what we're doing for this upcoming one versus North Carolina and just going and playing away from home at the other team's venue.
I say we get everybody's most outlandish like venue location possibilities. Let's just throw those out there.
I'm gonna have to come up with that, but all right.
Yeah, I might have to think about that one and come back around on that one. So you want a place that's going to seat at least, 5,000, right? Someplace with a good facility that's got a good pitch. So some of the obvious ones around us are, you could play at a high school. You could play or at Tampa Bay Sun play. We've talked about how the schedule's open there. I mean, there are, I think, opportunities. It's a matter of finding one that fits best with our schedule and everything else. I don't know. I wish we had more answers about Al Lang. I was over by their 2 days ago, and I mean, the pitch looked beautiful. I mean, can we just use the field and nothing else? I don't know. it's really tough to say right now. I mean, I don't know that we'd necessarily want to go with the Sun because it is a turf field. So I don't know. I had talked about how it'd be kind of interesting to play at a local high school because there is infrastructure there. I don't know what the rules are about a pro team playing at a high school, but high school stadiums are much nicer than they used to be. And there's a number of in the area that I think are usable. And they're good fields, all fit our dimensions. So, I wish I had an answer. I worry that we're going to finish this season away the rest of as far as regular season's concerned. But, you know, we just don't know. And that's the part that I think that's frustrating right now.
Yeah.
Outlandish, crazy. Does it have to be like a real stadium though, or can we like make up one?
I was making up one, so you go for that.
So I have always wanted out. You guys might remember this. It was about it was probably like 6-7 years ago, and there was talk of creating this stadium on the water, like it's free floating island. And, and I always thought, would that not be the coolest freaking thing in the world to play on this island stadium out in the middle of the bay somewhere, out in the Gulf.
Hell yes, Ben. Hell yes.
Would that be? I mean, you'd have to boat people in or fly people into. I mean, just I think that would be just completely badass. I mean, probably the only people that could pull it off are probably, you know, Dubai. But I mean, look, why can't we do that here too? Look, we're a big club. Why can't we do something like that?
Same. If you build it on a floating platform, it'll just go over the storm surge when it comes in.
I mean, that's kind of my point, and we just proved if that's what we got to do. I mean, okay, why is that not doable?
Let's look into that. Let's get the front office to look into that. Let's run research numbers.
What's money? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
This is totally doable.
Yeah, I like this. I like this. Let's get Stu Sternberg on this. I hope he's listening to this one.
I will say Eureka, our producer, again, has chimed in. He has suggested Raymond James. I think that's actually a legitimate option, but it would be hard to fill naturally. Yeah. So I came up with two ideas. There's one that's completely outlandish and more of a joke. And then there's one that I would actually like to see, but it's also not going to happen. So it's still a bit outlandish, even though I think it's more real. The first one is, I think that we should play on that giant field where they park all the cars next to Armature Works. I think that is the perfect size for a soccer stadium or a soccer field, and we set it up and we just let them play there. And if there are roads that cut off the individual parts of the parking lot, we'll just put turf over that. That'll be fine.
That's fine.
And then the actual one that I wanted to see, I was thinking of, so the Spanish national team, because Spain is actually several different smaller countries that are kind of federated together, to build some more national pride around the state, around the team, I guess they travel and play in all sorts of different places. If we're going to play at high schools, why don't we play at a high school in St. Pete, and then one in Tampa, and then one in and then one maybe in Gibsonton, I guess, and then one in Bradenton, where I live. That would be good. Okay. Maybe if there is, I don't even know if there is room, but I play on a soccer field on Anna Maria Island. Let's get the team out there. And they are not going to have 5,000 seats, but this is a temporary status. Let's set this up. Let's get a roving team, play at different venues, and then we could actually build a fan base around the whole bay. That's what I have in mind.
Rowdy's on tour. I like that.
That's a fantastic out-of-the-box idea.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. We'll get in touch with Ryan Helfrich on that one.
Not going to happen, but that is my actual what I would like to see happen one.
Yeah. That's genuinely like a good idea for like preseason games.
You know? There we go.
Modular stadiums are a thing. That's all I'm saying. I mean, like, there's the whole point of them is that they can be built up and torn down real easily.
Yeah, yep. That's genuinely a good idea for like preseason games. Run one in Tampa, one in St. Pete, run one in like Sarasota. Do one like IMG down in Bradenton, right? Like that would be it's Bradenton, right? Yeah, that'd be a blast. You kidding me? Let's just go back to oh my goodness, to Schimberg. When the Rowdies were practicing at Schimberg, do you remember that? When was that, like 2013, 2012? Yep. That's where my little cousin still plays his competitive ball right now. Let's make our way back to Schimberg and let the kids populate the field around. Out of bounds. Oh my goodness. The end lines, the touch lines around the field. We'll just all stand around and bring like orange slices and Gatorade. I feel like that'd be a good time. We could do, if you've ever seen Blue Mountain State, like at the end of the series, they play their last championship game in like a literal cornfield. Let's do that. Let's just set up a field somewhere in the middle of nowhere.
It's actually nice enough outside that we might be able to pull that off.
Yeah.
Now, can you imagine? Like, there's a story there. You know what I mean? Like, there's publicity to be had there, you know? Like, Tampa Bay soccer team puts on the show for the community and wins playoff game 1-0 in the middle of Ed Radis soccer complex or something like that. You know, like one of these like random soccer complexes, let the kids come out. Everybody comes out. We tailgate. Ralph's mob is just standing like on the field. You know, there's some sort of USL guideline that would prohibit that. But genuinely, like, this is a time to be creative, like on a serious note.
Yeah.
Creative solutions are required for these very strange times. I would rather something insane and outlandish in Tampa. or St. Pete or Bradenton or Sarasota, then the Rowdies be playing on the road the entire time. That would be, I think, for sure, a tragic way to end the year. And genuinely, like what we've talked about, we've kind of thrown out high schools out there. There's genuinely high schools with some lovely stadiums. Like, I think, you know, where I went to high school has a fantastic stadium by Raymond James. It's, you know, nice little 3,000 person at Jesuit. IMG has a pretty solid, you know, main stand down in Bradenton. Like,
I've seen multiple games there.
Jefferson has a huge, huge, huge grandstand smack in the middle of Tampa. Like, there's plenty of high school stadiums with some good size, like, you know, stands. We honestly, if Al Lang is that beyond usage, I would 100 times over take a random high school field in Tampa over them playing on the road for the rest of the year. Why not?
Final suggestion would be the area at TIA that they have to have open so the plane can land. All that grass that's all the grass that's in between the actual tarmac and the fence. That's my last suggestion.
James, what if the plane on ice.
Okay.
Really, like, play with real spikes.
Yeah. I think that's just hockey. I think that might just be hockey, but I like the idea.
You guys said out of the box. I'm just trying to get there. You know what I
mean?
Yeah.
I like it. James, the plane heads are going to be mad at you for saying TIA. Officially, it's TPA. Oh, that's the airport code.
Yeah, you're right.
I've been my whole life. I don't know what else to call it. It's like the Amelie is always going to be the Ice Palace.
Yes. Fair. Yes.
Fair. Okay. I like it. James, I feel like that's a great place to wrap up our high school stadium suggestions, our soccer on ice suggestions, our outlandish return to Schimberg Soccer Complex in County Country. Okay. Genuine idea. Let's roll in some bleachers and play at the Waters Complex. Don't we own an entire soccer complex on Waters Avenue?
That's true. We actually do.
Like, I totally forgot we own a literal soccer complex on Waters with a pretty good amount of space. Let's roll in the bleachers that'll seat 2,000 people and have a good time to end the year. Screw it.
If only, right? That would be ideal.
Yeah. Yeah.
But where would everyone park? That's the only downside.
There's a decent amount of parking in there.
At the airport?
Yeah. You park at the airport, yeah.
Well, actually, on the other side of Veterans, there's a huge Home Depot or Lowe's right there.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Boy, we're getting some real Tampa deep cuts this episode.
Yeah. This is great stuff.
I spent a lot of time at the Waters Complex, too. I worked on those fields, so, you know, I've got time over there.
Yes. Eureka shouting out Jazzy's Barbecue in the chat here. The best.
Just there Monday.
The best barbecue in Tampa. Barbecue in Tampa. Absolutely. Shout out to Jazzy's Barbecue. And, oh, my goodness, I'm forgetting the name of the Bucks player that started it. But shout out to him as well. Go. Absolute go.
All right. Well, Carlos, as you said, I think with the shout out to Jazzy's, that is where we should leave it here. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Please follow RBLR Sports on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, Threads, anywhere. Also follow Unused Subs Pod. And I am mostly on Twitter personally. If you would like to get at me, that is at RBLR James K. If you would like to get at the show itself, you can use all of those social media at RBLR Sports, or use the hashtag AskRBLR. You can tell us where you would like to see the Rowdies play, because I'm sure a lot of people have opinions. Carlos, what about you?
At Carlos TPA10, I actually am excited to see what everybody has to say about Rowdies locations. Let's have some fun with it in the midst of a really chaotic time.
We need to do an RBLR poll for this. That's where we actually need to do this.
I actually like that. Let's get on that. We'll do some scouting here, some data mining on
some interaction.
Absolutely.
And Ben, where can people get at you?
You can reach me at R. Wilcox 1120, or you can hit us up on the Unused Subs Pod. We are on all platforms that way. I'm on all platforms essentially the same way as well. Hit us up, man. We love talking soccer, and I honestly can't get enough, man. Soccer is my life, so, you know. Share your thoughts, man. I'm always interested.
All right. Well, Bill, thank you for joining us tonight. We will turn it over here now to all of the listeners. Please like and subscribe to our podcast. You can get the full experience on YouTube, and we are also on Spotify and the iHeartRadio app, Apple and Google Podcasts, wherever you get podcasts. Thank you for tuning in this week. We had a lot of fun actually going over everything, despite it all. We'll see you hopefully at a home game relatively soon.
Somewhere in Tampa.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.